Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant in North Idaho. It is June 30th, 2015, and this is one of a series of interviews that I'm doing with leading professionals in the network of private schools and programs for struggling teens. Now, today we're going to talk about the internet. In particular, the title is Navigating the Cyberscape. And that happens to be a book by my guest, Ryan Anderson. That's the title of the book that he just published, was available 5 weeks ago. Well, good morning, Ryan. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Lon. Good morning to you, too. Appreciate being here.
All right. Well, I'm very fascinated in this since I spent a lot of my time in the internet. I've been very interested in some of the things happening and some of the dark side of it. But why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch of what is your book about, Navigating the Cyberscape? What's the point of it? What are you trying to get across?
I've got a few major points. One is that we've evolved to a spot in our culture where we don't live with our media anymore. We live in it. It's become woven into our lives and such a way that that's where I came up with the word cyberscape. It's now part of the landscape that we live in. And with that, I think there are tremendous benefits and there are also tremendous risks. And I think what I've learned is a lot of whether we get the benefits or whether we reap all of the downsides to it, a lot of it has to do with how we navigate that world. The downside, however, is as I watch and observe from a sort of a sociological point of view, a lot of the large and leading trends actually are unhealthy. And so a lot of us, just kind of getting caught along with what is normal, are finding that we're experiencing a lot of the downsides of our dependence and our, I would say, sometimes codependence on this digital world, but we really don't have a frame of reference to recognize what's happening to us and what it's costing us. So in writing this book, I wanted to raise awareness of both the benefits, but also what we need to do, what we are losing, and how we can gain those things back. It's not an anti-technology position at all. It's very much a position of technology is a wonderful thing, but we all need to learn to think much more critically about how we use it.
Okay, why don't you start off with that, and I know this people all the time, we hear it all the time. What are the benefits of the internet, having the internet, and as you call it, the cyberscape? What are the benefits?
Well, there are a lot, but I'll try to be concise about it. One of the things that I find useful, even just through the process of writing the book, the ability to find information, there's never been a better resource than the internet. What would have taken me months to find before, I was able to find out in minutes. I think about my experience with technology back when I was working in the hospital system, the ability to collaborate, advance research, the ability to connect, and also there's something to be said about fun. I mean, fun's a good thing. It's an important part of life. And the internet's a great and creative location. There are ways in which the internet can enhance relationships, bridge boundaries, overcome political oppression, help to overcome problems we never thought we could solve. For example, I'm thinking about AIDS research. Part of it was advanced by taking a problem they had with a protein, turning it into a game and releasing it on the internet. And something they'd worked for years to solve without solving was solved in 6 months or less, actually. In 6 weeks, I believe it was, actually, by a team of people getting together to work on it as a game on the internet. So all the different ways it can enhance our lives, I don't even think we've discovered all of them yet. And there are all sorts of benefits for senior citizens in continuing to connect them, provide emotional support, mental stimulation. I could go on all day. There are lots of wonderful things about it.
You know, that sort of reminds me as you're talking, and as we'll get into the downside and spend a little bit more time on it, but I was thinking of one of the sayings I've heard. I live in a small town, and some of the people says, well, the benefits of living in a small town is it's small. And the downside of living in a small town is it's small. they sort of go together. It's almost like it's a dualistic world that in order to have all the benefits, you got to have the downside, and as you say, you got to learn to navigate it. So what are the downside trends that you're seeing, and then hopefully we'll get a little bit about what maybe we can do about it. What are some of the downside trends?
Sure. Well, one of the big downside trends that I'm seeing right now is actually the way that our brains are being shaped around our patterns of usage. We tend to interact in microtransactions online, and what we're finding is that our brains are adjusting to that. I was a little dismayed when I found the research that shows that the average human attention span right now is 8 seconds long. That puts us behind goldfish, who have a 9 second long attention span. So we're actually changing our brains individually and collectively. And what we're finding is the way that we're shaping our brains is to be more shallow, to be more superficial, to have less ability to focus and think deeply about things. And this reinforces things like racism and impulsivity. So one of the big trends I see is that computers and the internet are brain-shaping machines, which is wonderful because that can be used to our benefit. But when we kind of use them in this impulsive, consuming everything that comes along the way, jumping on every trend sort of way, we are actually sort of, well, nerfing our brains, for lack of a better word. We're making ourselves less capable.
You know, there's an
So that's
interesting.
one of the trends.
There's an interesting
Go ahead.
attitude on that. I wrote a an essay a while back, and I titled it, but I read it on the internet. And very often, and I still run into people, they say, well, this is the truth. I saw it on the internet. There's this article or something like that. And just a
Oh,
good
yes.
example of the superficial or shallow perspective. If somebody says it, then there's some, well, I remember hearing this about this in newspapers. Well, if it wasn't true, they wouldn't have let you, they wouldn't have written it. And a very naive view, but that sounds like the internet is just making that worse.
It's so true. I mean, we've transitioned into a society where our greatest, well, one of our greatest, I should say, currencies is information. And so we are enormous consumers of information, but the difficult thing is the average person doesn't have any idea how to evaluate the validity and the reliability of the information they find. You know, when I go around and talk with groups of people, I'll ask very basic questions about, hey, how large does a sample size have to be before statistics can be valid? And just ask basic statistics 101 question. And honestly, if 10% of the people I run into, and I'm talking about professionals as well, can answer even half of my question, that's a good day. So we're consumers of a medium that we don't understand. Most people accept information as valid when it fits their preconceptions. And that's actually another one of the things that I worry about, is that the internet has become the largest drive in the world for groupthink and polarization that there has ever been. I mean, we see it going on right now. We look around ourselves at the debates going on about the Confederate flag, about same-sex marriage being legalized. And if you watch what's going on these online conversations, you will see a tremendous amount of polarization and a tremendous amount of people being reinforced in a very two-dimensional opinion and feeling like they've got it all made, because that's what the internet has become. It's become a radicalization machine, and we all get radicalized without recognizing it. And even the way the internet is put together, search engines, social media, the algorithms actually reinforce that and create that. We think we're gaining an objective reality from the internet, when in reality, the internet, search engines, and social media are only looking for what we want and giving it to us. And so we have no idea just how much we're reinforcing some of our own delusions.
Okay, well, we've about ran out of time, and we could go on for hours, I'm sure. But what would the one or two best advice you would give to parents that are concerned about their kids and want to keep them away from being this apocalypse zombie type of consumer?
So the first thing I would say to any parent is you need to start with yourself. You're not going to be able to raise your children to any higher ground than you start on. And as we recognize it, most of us from our jobs and things are required to have technology on us. So the first thing I would say, you as a parent, accept one fact about yourself. You are not hardwired to multitask. So learn to set the example first off of setting down the phone, turning off the computer, turning away, and giving your full attention to your child. Second, keep in mind that if the limits and boundaries you're using with your child are simply the limits and boundaries you see most around you, you probably don't have the right limits and boundaries. You know, you're going to have to be really become clear about what matters in my child's life. The question isn't how much electronic time I should give them, but it is how much, when, where, why. And also, what else in their lives matters? And how do we know when we're giving those things adequate time and attention? Start there. And then from there, the amount of electronics time that needs to fit in will make some more sense. But just to give a little tidbit, though, most often we find that most people are able to balance their relationship with electronics when they have no more than 1 to 2 hours of recreational screen time per day total. Now, when the national average is 8, that lets you know how much out of balance we've become.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, we've about ran out of time. And it sounds like the excuse from the kids, well, all the other kids get to do it, wouldn't fly very well with you.
No, not at all. and you know, that's just good parenting in general, though. It's a matter of don't allow yourself just to be swept along with currents. Learn to think critically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've run out of time. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking to Ryan Anderson, author of the book Navigating the Cyberscape, talking about some of the benefits and concerns or worries about the Internet and how we use that. Well, thank you very much. Good to have you here, Ryan. And maybe we can talk and explore some of these questions a little bit further. But good luck with your book, and you have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, Lon. You too.